Okay. One of the nice things about Christmas is that you do get to hold all those little babies that come from all over the place and sort of bounce them around, and then when they start crying, you give them back to their mothers. How many enjoy that part? Not the giving them back to their mothers, but you know, the other part. Good. Well, listen up, guys. When I say hi guys, it's usually one of them is a lady. And how many understand that? That hi guys is sort of generic and it means whatever. This morning, I'm glad there are not a lot of people here because this could be a very controversial message because Christianity is controversial. How many knew that? Christianity is controversial. And so this morning my goal is I have ideas. You know what the next one is? Suggestions, advice, and thus says the Lord. Now, my goal this morning is to teach, preach, thus says the Lord. But along the way, there may be some advice and there may be even suggestions. I could even be a few ideas in here. But we need to learn to differentiate that, and I'll try to do that. I'll try to be kind as we look through this. First thing I want to do is get this thing working. I have promised you that each week we will look at this passage of Scripture, and we're going to try to keep that promise. Ephesians chapter number 4. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Now, if you notice, those are underlined. And I just saw this morning, and again, how many learn things new every week, every time they open the Scriptures? Oh, I never saw that before. And I've seen some things, even this morning in my devotions. But I want you to notice that every one of these, their main job, if you want to call it a job, is truth communicators. These men, and some of them can be women, these people are truth communicators. Prophet, what does he do? He tells people. He talks to people. Prophets, what do? They speak from God to people. Evangelists, what do? They preach. Speech. Pastors and teachers, all of these are truth communicators. And so notice that as we go down through. I've underlined a few other ones. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. How do they do that? Well, they communicate what? Truth. They communicate truth. And sometimes it's advice and sometimes suggestions, sometimes that. But they're truth communicators. At least that's what they better be. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith. Faith is communicated. And knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies, so clever that they sound like what? The truth. How many have ever been told a story before? Now, about a month ago or a couple months ago, there are a lot of parents who do, they lie to their children, okay? How many know what I'm talking about? And again, that's your job is to work through that whole thing. But anyways, I won't tell you what we're talking about because most of you should know by now. Anyways, instead of doing that, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amazing. Now, we've taken care of that. Now, we'll look at Titus. Now, remember, last week we've talked about the older men and the older women, and that's where we picked up. We looked at the ministry of older women. Now, teach the older women to be. This is what they need to be. What you are basically determines what you do, and we understand that. And so teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers, addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. They're truth communicators. And sometimes it's by teaching, or sometimes it's just by being near them. Then they can urge. Titus, don't you do this. This is not your job, Titus, okay? In fact, it's gotten a lot of people in trouble by teaching the young ladies. The older women, this is your job, okay? We talked about that last week. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their own husbands. And there's an own in there. NIV, I think, drops that. So that, here's the purpose, so that no one will malign the word of God. Again, we move on, verse number 6. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled, period. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good, in your teaching, showing integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. Why? So that those who oppose you may be ashamed, disappointed, even to the fact of embarrassment, because they have nothing bad to say about us. Now, Paul has dealt with the older men. He's dealt with the older women, and that's okay, that's fine. How many are older women, men this morning? Older men, raise your hand. That means we're probably over 40, 45. We probably have raised our children, and we probably have grandchildren. Now, that doesn't always necessarily... Now, how many... don't raise your hand, okay? But there are men who are grandfatherly who have never been married. Does this include them? Yeah. I'm thinking he's talking about an age group. And so... we talk about them. I won't ask the older women to raise their hand. But if you're an older woman, well, probably if you are a grandmother, and in their culture it could have been 35, 40. In our culture, it's probably around 45. If you're a grandmother, you've probably raised your kids, and you've got grandchildren. That's basically who he's talking about. But don't say, well, we don't have any grandkids, so I'm not an older woman. Tell me your age. I'll tell you if you're older or not, okay? We'll help you out on that one. Now, he moves down to two more age groups. A word to the young Christian ladies in the fellowship, verses 4 and 5. Then they can urge the younger women. The older ladies are required to labor intentionally to have a positive impact on their younger counterparts. Older ladies have the privilege and responsibility for the growth and development of the young ladies. Now, I'm not making this stuff up. You got the text right in front of them. And that's basically what the Apostle Paul is saying to Titus. Tell the older ladies, this is your responsibility. This is your job. And the older ladies, they've got to do it. They are expected to admonish, model, and train young ladies in a number of crucial areas. Let me go back to that. That word up there, urge. We get a word from that, urge. Fill that word. What is that word? Urgency. Urgency. This is something you have got to do. Let me ask you a question. Older ladies, you respond, and don't be embarrassed because you're older. That's where you are. That you might as well like it. Urgency. When do you begin teaching younger ladies? I mean, what age do you think? Just throw out a couple ages there. When do you begin to teach younger ladies to do these things? Go ahead. Take a guess. 20. There's one guess. Come on. Older ladies, there's only one older lady in the group. I tell you, let me just suggest, the best time to do this is probably when they're 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Right? I mean, everybody. True or false? True or false? True. Well, how do you do that? You model it for them. You model it for them. And folks, I'm not going to be hard on the older ladies. Men, you want the young men to follow? You model it for them. How soon do I have to start? How soon do I have to clean up my act and start doing right? I would suggest you do it right now. There's no better time to start than right now. And so from the time you got that little guy wiping, sucking snot, you from 2 years old, you begin to model that. You've got to do that. Nobody else is going to do it. And dads in particular, we have a responsibility to model. Younger men with children, you have a responsible, you know what? Well, my dad does that. How many men want their kid to say that when their kid does something wrong? No hands up. You put your hand up, somebody's going to slap you. Okay? Now, let's go back to the ladies. They're expected to admonish. This is an urgent thing. Model, train young ladies in a number of crucial areas. Pity the women who grow up in a culture where men are liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Well, what culture are we talking about? Go ahead, tell me. The Cretans. And Paul said, he quoted Epimenides, one of their prophets, and said, one of your prophets of your own said, Cretans are evil beasts, they're liars, they're lazy gluttons. And it's true. Now, let me ask you a question. Don't answer, but you can write this down. If you had to characterize men in our culture, how would you characterize them? And I thought about that this morning. Here's another thing. How would I characterize men in our culture? If you watched this afternoon, I would use the term self-obsessed. I would use the term materialistic. I would use the term unfaithful. General, men in our culture. You know what? We're not far from the Cretans right here. Pity the women that grow up in Crete. Man, they don't have much to pick from when they go looking for a husband. Well, or when the husband comes looking for them, and we'll see that in a minute. The profile of of godly younger women consists of seven qualities that are widely approved in secular society. Now, there's an asterisk there, and we'll come back to that. As the standard accoutrements of the ideal, respectable wife. Even their society says, this is what the young wife should be. This is what the younger woman should be. All of them follow, explain, and draw their urgency from the verb urge that describes the older woman's educational role. Note, approved does not mean lived out. Now, just because a society approves it doesn't mean they live it that way. Does our society appreciate honesty? Answer, yes. Do they live it? No. Does our society appreciate faithfulness? Well, he's been faithful to the job. Yeah, they do. But do they live it? Answer, no. So when Titus is told, you know, your young ladies should at least come up to this standard, what he is saying is, you know what? They should live up to this, and they should go what? Beyond this. We find out the older ladies are expected to help establish godly priorities for Christian young ladies. Again, these young ladies from 2, 4, 6, 8, the whole way up, all they have seen in Crete, they might have seen a couple good examples, but what they have seen in Crete, folks, these girls have got to behave themselves in a way that is godly, and they probably won't see it in their neighbors. The older ladies expected to do this. We may safely assume these are married with children, are in their 20s and 30s. That's what we're assuming this morning. Young lady, learn to love your husband and your children. This highly valued quality was frequently mentioned on funerary inscriptions. And so one of the greatest honors for a young lady is to have on her tombstone something positive about her mothering and wifing. Is that a word, wifing? How many understand what that is, wifing? There's three of you. I appreciate some of you folks. You're so encouraging. Even if I don't make sense, you sometimes raise your hand and say, yeah, go ahead, Pastor, keep moving. Because you don't want me to pause and try to explain myself because you know it's going to take an extra half hour. It was a highly characterized or valued quality. It is best taught by example and encouragement. Christianity is more often than not countercultural. Keep that in mind. As we move through the passage, this will not set well with our culture. It will not. They will not like it. In their culture, they got a husband and then chose and learned to love him the same way we do children, sort of. How many of you picked your children? We didn't. They just came out and they were ours. And you know what you do? You love them. You learn to love them. Are they a pain in the neck? Answer, go ahead, be honest. Yes, sometimes. But you know, we choose to love them. We hug them. Spent about 45 minutes last night just walking around with one of the grandkids. And I was afraid to move her because my arms were sort of stiff because I was afraid she'd wake up and start, you know, that's what they do. How many know that? You grandparents, you're just like, oh, I remember the days. Folks, that's the way in their culture, sometimes they got a wife. Dads got together, made arrangements, and this is your husband. This is your wife, your husband and wife. And you know what they did? They learned to love each other. Joseph and Mary, just recently. Joseph was betrothed to Mary. Mary was betrothed to him. They had a commitment. Who probably made those arrangements? Probably the dads. And folks, in some of our cultures today around the world, this is still the way it goes. Now, what do you do when you're stuck in a situation like that? Older women, teach them to love their husbands and their children. Love is a choice. It is a choice to learn, to understand, to know, and to give. Love is a commitment. And every time I do premarital counseling, folks, it is the commitment. It is the commitment that establishes a marriage. If there are two young people say, you know what, I'd like to get married. Good. You find a partner, we'll get you married. If they are committed, they will make it. Well, what if? No what ifs. Commitment says there are no what ifs. We're determined to make it. We're going to see this through to the finish. We're going to do that. Now, not everybody is able to do it. Things happen, okay? As a man, I cannot hold the marriage together all by myself. And neither can my wife. It's a mutual commitment. How many understand that? Or at least part of it. And we do that. That's the way it was in their culture. So what do you do in a culture like that? I love this. A good and godly woman who deeply loved her husband and her children. That is the most honoring thing that a lady can have placed over her grave. To a good and godly woman who deeply loved her husband and her children. Young lady, be discreet and chaste. Be self-controlled and morally pure. This differs radically from the culture in which they and you grew up. You did not grow up in a culture like this. Your children are not growing up in a culture like this. Purity is a choice that begins in the mind and affects the whole life. Purity, and I don't know how ladies function, okay? I do partly because, anyways. I don't know how their minds work. But men, I have to keep my mind out of the gutter. You know what? If my wheels go in the gutter, pretty soon the whole car is going to go in the gutter, or the whole truck. And so what Paul is telling Titus, these older men need to teach the ladies how to think pure so that they can live pure. It is very unlikely that a person who thinks impure thoughts will live a pure life. I would say it's almost impossible. Purity is a choice that begins in the mind and affects the whole life. What do I feed my mind? Pollution and impurity breed dissatisfaction. Someone who pollutes their mind with things on their mind that they shouldn't be thinking about, things that they shouldn't be doing, all of a sudden they become dissatisfied with their relationships. All of a sudden the grass looks greener on the what? Other side of the fence, but it still has to be mowed. And folks, people who get into other relationships, you know what? They usually end up just as disastrous as the first one. By the way, don't send a message either intentionally or ignorantly that advertises immorality. Men can be just as guilty. Never say anything, young lady, that is even suggestive to another man. Never, unless it's your husband. You can say suggestive things to your husband. Hey, honey. How many men? Never mind. Folks, you know, husbanding and wife is wonderful. It is wonderful. But you know what? Once I begin to plant seeds of thought into somebody else's mind, I have a bowl of Hershey Kisses on my desk. Okay, how many know that? Okay, some people know that. You know what? When the kids come in, I don't mind. My grandkids especially. Hey, do you want a kiss? Oh, yeah. And then I grab them and give them a kiss. And I'm teasing. But you know what? I will never, never, never say that to a woman. I will never say that. Unless it's who? A wife or a daughter. I can handle that. How many understand what I'm saying? Folks, I have heard men say suggestive stuff to ladies. I have heard ladies say suggestive stuff to men. Folks, although we are focusing on young women, folks, men are just as guilty of saying this. And here's what happens. At the workplace, suggestive comment. And then the person goes home and they think about what has been said. And then they start thinking the same thing. Is that going a good direction? Answer, absolutely not. Why would you even set yourself up for something like that? Is this too much? I don't think it is, because folks, we are tempted daily to do wrong. We do have an adversary. Well, we go on, young lady, be a homemaker and good kind. Now we have to be careful here, because this is not culturally appropriate. Be busy at home, manage your household responsibilities efficiently. This does not suggest the home is a prison where she should be kept. It does strongly suggest priorities. And I think that's what Paul is getting at. Young lady, and again, you may not like me this morning, but young lady, if you marry a husband, your first priority is your husband. If you have children, your first priority is what? Your husband. I thought it was, no. Your first priority is your husband. And then you have children. Those are the priorities. Now, if you can work outside of the home, if you can work at home, that's fine. But folks, you have to maintain that priority. And as long as that priority is maintained and the house isn't a zoo and a crazy house, you can do that. Now, again, those are suggestions. Here's what the Word of God says. And we need to be careful that we don't draw our lines too hard. Don't grow irritable and resentful or envious in light of the nagging demands of mundane household duties. Now, I've never been a young woman, but I understand that it can get be wearisome. I can understand that the young woman at home taking care of bratty little kids sometimes, changing diapers, cleaning up, I understand it can get a little boring, and sometimes a young lady will look on the outside and say, maybe I should have chosen a career. I'm not even going to ask for, don't even wink your eye in that one. Because I know that there are young ladies who look. But you know what? In God's eyes, your first priority is your husband, and your next priority is your children. And again, it's either what the Word of God says or I'm a liar, and I don't think I'm the second. Young lady, be submissive to your own husband. If you can't respect him and be submissive to him, don't marry him. And really, that's the long and short of it. And we'll move on from there. Submission is functional and in no way implies a position of innate inferiority, nor is there any forced compliance. It is the responsible acceptance of, and I love this, I don't know where the quote came from, a relationship in which God has placed one and the resulting honest attempt to fulfill the duties which it imposes on one. And that means I need to learn submission to God. That's the same word used within the Godhead. Jesus Christ has submitted to the Father. Does that mean he's inferior? Absolutely not. It is a position that he holds. Again, some people have distorted this. All you Christians, you believe your wife is a doormat. That is a lie. That is not true. That is not. And this in no way feeds that kind of mindset. The equality of the sexes doesn't negate the distinctions between the sexes. Wherever biblical Christianity has been lived out, womanhood has been elevated. How many would like to live in a Muslim, ladies, this is for ladies, how many would like to live in a Muslim culture? Not me. I would never want my daughters to live in a Muslim. I would never want my granddaughters to live in a Muslim culture. Live in a Christian culture? Okay. In every culture where Christ has been preached and where people have lived it out biblically. And you understand what I'm saying there. The women have been elevated and treated in the right way. New Testament teaching on marriage emphasizes maintaining a mutual or reciprocal commitment of the husband and the wife to an exclusive, intimate, loving, caring relationship. How many vote yes on that? Amen. Let's do it. Well, let's continue. Here we go. Young lady, the reputation of the gospel is honored or dishonored by your relationship to your family so that no one will malign the word of God. Wow. That's a pretty powerful statement. And so the young lady who does what God says to do, she does not give people an opportunity to malign the Word of God. The world usually judges a religion not by its doctrines, but by its effects on its adherents. And that is true, folks. We do that. We do that in our world system. And we talk about the adherents that follow this religion, that religion. Look at them. We hardly ever know their doctrine, but we do watch their behavior. And we reject that religion because of the behavior that it produces. Follow it back to its course, where it comes from. The success or failure of the gospel message is, in large part, not contingent on the one preaching it, but on those living it. That's why we stick with this. Love God, live convincingly, and the rest is look for opportunities. But here we're talking about living convincingly. We move on. A word to the young Christian men in the fellowship. Again, probably in their 20s and 30s, maybe a little bit older. These are the young men. Now, you'll notice some interesting things here. Young man, one thing is required of you. Control yourself. That's it. That's all you have to remember, men. Isn't that amazing? I find that almost humorous. In fact, five words occur in the original, the shortest verse in Titus. Wow. Young men, control yourself. I used to be a young man. I know some of you don't believe that, but it used to be so. This does not imply that you have arrived. It may indicate that you're developmentally challenged, you're impulsive and impetuous. How many would confess to that? I still remember, I think I was like 5 or 6 years old, and Aunt Florence was at the sink, and I was just a little ankle biter, And she turned around, I think she said, "Frank, you are so impetuous." And I thought, what the world is that? I still remember that. 5 years old, I still remember that. I'm not sure what it means. I still don't know, but I don't think it's a good thing. That means I do whatever I want to do. Folks, young men, this is the problem. We have to learn to control ourselves, control our thinking, control our behavior. And folks, that's it. That's all. Now, you can only focus on one thing at a time. That's it, okay? I can focus on one thing at a time. I have one box. I take that box off the shelf. I do that box, put it back, and do something else. I am not a good multitasker. My wife, she can multitask, okay? Don't tell her I think she's a good multitasker, but how many men have trouble multitasking? You find it a little bit difficult. There's about three or four of us, okay? And the rest of you, you can't figure out what's going on. This may indicate that you need both verbal prodding and visible pattern in order to think clearly, to have the ability to see the consequences before making the choices. Folks, that is the biggest problem that I have. I am learning to be able to see the consequences before I make the choices. Yesterday, I did it. I was loading wood, and I had my pickup truck down at the base of the hill, and it was backed up so that the tailgate was right here, and I could just roll the wood down and far down the hill, and it was a hill, but not too bad, and go onto the tailgate, and then the wood would roll on here. It was pieces of wood. Some of them were rather large. And I thought, that would be a great idea. And then I saw the tail light here, and I thought, you know what? I know what's going to happen. You tell me what's going to happen. Man, what's going to happen? I roll the wood down, bang, it hits the taillight. I knew that. So having done that before and knowing what would happen, I saw the consequences before I made the decision. And I walked everyone up and down the bank. It's cost $150, $200 to replace it. Man, we have got to learn to see beyond the action and to see the consequences. How many are learning that? Man, how many are learning that? If you don't raise your hand, I'm going to pick on you. How many are learning that, man? Good. I appreciate that. Yeah, and really, that's self-control. Don't do it before you think about it. We're impulsive. We're impetuous. Well, maybe you're not, but I am. This may indicate you need both verbal prodding. That's what he's going to do. Young man, you need to follow the credible, convincing pattern of your teachers. Choose them wisely. Find somebody. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. Titus, set the example. And this would go back to the older men. Older men, set the example. So that these men, I need somebody. You know, you can tell me how to do it. But if you show me, there are videos that I watch 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times because I have to see it being done. If I see it being done, I can do it. How many men are like that? How many read the instructions? That's why I told putting the Christmas toy again. I don't read the instructions. You know, then I did. I'm learning that too. But folks, I need an example to follow. Don't just tell me, show me. How many have had a godly man in the past that they said, I wonder what he would do? I wonder what he would say. Folks, I have some of you men in this auditorium. When I have a decision to make, I think about what would this person say? What would this person do? And you know what? There is probably some little guy somewhere who will someday ask, what would my daddy do? What would my grandpa do? And that is what he will do. Man, that's a sobering thought. Man, that's it. We need to do that. Their conduct is marked by good works. Evaluate whether what they do is valuable and worthy of emulation. You look at this guy, and I look at this man here, and I say, okay, is he doing what's good? I watch him, and I watched him before for years before I came to faith in Christ. I watched him. I didn't even know this verse. And I watched him, and he did good. Their belief system is untainted and sincere. Evaluate whether what they believe matches reality and is of value. Valuable. Folks, I can figure out pretty much what a man believes by the way he behaves. How many have learned that? You can figure out what a man believes by how he behaves. You just watch him. Evaluate that. Evaluate it. Their conversations are clear and healthy for others. Sound speech is healthy speech. Listen to him. Evaluate whether what they say is worthy of commendation. How many have listened to, you've seen men and you've looked and I thought, they're respectable men. And then you listened to them and you gave them a thumbs down. You think back in your past and you will find men just like that. Listen to what they say. Is it worthy of commendation? Then do what they do, believe what they believe, and talk like they talk. Men, that's it. That's it for us. What is your biggest challenge? Self-control. You find somebody who does what is good, who communicates good, who believes according to reality, and then you use them as your example. And hopefully I am the kind of person that fits up here. I want to be. Young man, follow the preceding instructions and don't provide ammo for the enemy. Now, I like this because I know what ammo is. You know what? And if I were playing, and I don't do paintball thing. I don't think I ever played paintball. But if I were playing paintball, I sure wouldn't hand the enemy a handful of paintball ammo. How many would do that? That's a dumb thing. I know it's only a game, but I heard those things sting, okay? Don't hand them the enemy. What do you mean by that? Make sure that any insinuations, accusations, and malicious gossip have no basis in reality. That means, young man, if somebody accuses you of something, insinuates something about you, you can just laugh it off and say, you know me better than that. Never happened. Never happened. And people will say, yeah, I know your character well enough to know that it didn't happen. Impropriety and immorality easily lead to slanderous remarks with respect to the gospel. And so whatever comes out of my mouth, whatever behavior I do, I need to make sure that nobody can say anything. That's handing them ammo. When they present their charges, they'll be thrown out of court because they have no basis for them. The opposition may not cease their attacks, but the least you can do is not provide them with ammunition. If they are going to have ammunition to use against you, force them to manufacture it themselves. And so some of the times, my activities, and I can tell you this morning, I think about things that I could do. They're illegal, but I could get away with it. And it has to do with hunting. There are certain things I could do. I'm pretty sure I could get away with it. And you know what? Here's the factor. And I think about the consequences. I'll tell you what it is. I have two doe tags for one area. Now, I could go to another place and I could shoot a doe and I could put one of those doe tags on this other deer. Now, I could get away with it, but all I need is somebody to show up at my house and visit me. And all of a sudden, they ask me a question, and guess what? I have to tell the truth. If I lie, it just complicates. And I think about that whole scenario and I say, Rice, don't be a bonehead. How many have ever said that to themselves? Don't be a bonehead. You don't want to do that. Folks, I don't know that men ever get over that whole thing. We are tempted to do what's wrong because we're pretty sure 99% we can get away with it. How many have ever been tempted to do wrong? This is a brain check. How many have ever been tempted to do wrong? And most of us, we can point to an event in the last couple days. Folks, if I do that, all I am doing is providing. Let me ask you a question. If I do what I thought about doing, you know who's watching me? God is, I know that. But there is an enemy that watches me. And I have a feeling he would love to trap me so he can discredit me and embarrass me. How many like to be embarrassed? Go ahead. Raise your hand. How many like to be embarrassed? Boy, no hands. Hey, folks. Don't ever allow something like that. I need to exercise what? Self-control. Well, a psalm for every believer, Psalm 15. We're going to close with this. How many are glad? Don't raise your hand. I love Psalm 15. I have memorized Psalm 15. Probably a good idea for you, especially the men. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? What kind of people worship God? These are the kinds. Here they are. He or she, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness. He does what's right and speaks the truth in his heart. Speaks the truth in his heart. Why? Because what you think in your heart will eventually come out of your what? Mouth. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, he stays away from them, does not emulate them, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. That means you make a promise and you could kick yourself for making it, but you keep it anyways. He who does not put out his money at usury. That means taking advantage of other people. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Young ladies and gentlemen, the reputation of the gospel rests on you. Older men and women, that would be me, and many of you, you provide the example and the encouragement for them. Did we miss anybody? I don't think so. I think every one of these, I am an older man, some of you are older women, younger women. Yeah, but I'm a teenager. Do you plan to be a younger man? Yeah. So it'd be a good idea to get started right now and figure out what you're going to do with what God says. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you again for the Word of God. And Lord, again, we live in a culture where much of this stuff is trash, where they don't believe it. Maybe it's because we don't live it out convincingly. I don't know, Lord. God help us this morning. And Lord, I do pray for the younger men, the younger ladies in this auditorium, and even for us older guys, God, and older ladies. God help us. Father, may we as older believers walk in such a way that we could say to those who follow, follow me, because I'm following Christ. God will need grace for that. We'll need wisdom. Father, we pray that you would help us and encourage us as we seek to live for you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.